Our text this morning is Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament, beginning at verse 6 in the 58th chapter, in which Isaiah says, "Is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free, to break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him and not turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. When you call, and the Lord will answer, you will cry for help, and he will say, 'Here am I.'" This is the part where you realize that you came to church on a Sunday in which the pastor decided to talk about fasting. Can we all get a collective groan? But I'm not going to, I hope that in the few minutes that we're going to spend together around this theme of fasting, that you'll be pleasantly surprised. Because I'm actually not terribly concerned about talking about your food consumption, at least not this morning. Instead, I want to ask a riddle. What do flamingos, plaques, and hymnals all have in common? What do flamingos, plaques, and hymnals all have in common? The answer, of course, is West Valley Presbyterian Church has a bunch of them. Currently, we have 60 pink flamingos. And that's down from about 120. Raise your hand if you can remember why we have pink flamingos. Good. Keep your hand up if you were part of the fundraising effort associated with it. Which, yeah, that's a little harder to answer, isn't it? Because my understanding is that the way it worked was, give money to camp scholarships, and if you do that, we won't flamingo your yard. I'm really not going to go too deep into the theological reflection about what kind of why we're going to do fundraising through threats. But we've still got 60 pink flamingos. And anybody who has been a part of West Valley for any length of time knows that we have and love plaques. This is a filing cabinet with a plaque. Thank you for laughing. Oh my gosh, thank you so much. Because look, I get it. Putting a plaque on a beautiful piano that was donated, putting someone's name in the stained glass. These are things that Christians and church folks have been doing for a long time. I got to be honest with you. There's not a room, not a room, and not many plants on this campus that do not have a plaque on it. This is like a fireproof filing cabinet. This thing's like bulletproof, man. After the apocalypse, check this filing cabinet, whatever's in there. Now, the problem is, though, that what's currently in there is a lot of VBS materials. The rest of the world is going to collapse in on itself with the big earthquake, but VBS is still going to roll. And this was dated. It's got a date on it because it's a plaque. August 10th, 1977. Raise your hand if you don't remember 1977 because you actually weren't alive yet. Okay. So So we got a filing cabinet dedicated to 1977 for the pastor's study. You know how much stuff I put into a filing cabinet nowadays? We just don't do much, right? And it was from the Hamblins. Do you remember the Hamblins? Okay. In loving memory of our parents and our brothers and sisters and their devotion to Christ's church. This was a loving gift given by an amazing couple who loved their family, who loved their brothers and sisters, and were really proud of them. And they wanted to help the pastor, and they wanted to help the church, and they donated this amazing filing cabinet. And they probably didn't want the plaque. But other people said, "If we're, you know, that's a really generous thing you're donating, and we should put a plaque on that." Flamingos. Plaques and hymnals. Now, friends, one of the things that I am charged to do as a transitional pastor is to come into a congregation with a new set of eyes. I get to come in with that fresh vision that just says, I've never been here before. I don't know anything about the place. But I'm going to come into this space and I'm going to ask myself the question, what does this church care about? What does this congregation believe in? What do these people live for? What's the message that I receive when I come into it? And this, my friends, is a really challenging message. This is a challenging message because on the one hand, I think to myself, well, they love music. That's a good thing. On the other hand, this is a really old hymnal. On the one hand, it's a really well-used and well-loved hymnal. On the other hand, maybe they can't afford new ones anymore. On one hand, is this a church that's kind of stuck in the past? Because, you know, they don't really understand that new music has happened? On the other hand, maybe this is a tradition that's really important to them. You see where I'm going with this? Now I'm going to put myself in your place as a congregation. Every single Sunday you come into church, very rarely do we pull the hymnals, very rarely do we use them. But we sing hymns, I know this, because I've been with you and we've sung them. And we have a great technology that uses them. So we've got technology, we sing hymns, yet these hymnals stay in the pews. And they send a really challenging mixed message. Do you follow me? Do you follow me? Okay. So, Isaiah is talking about the kind of fast that God really wants. And I'm not trying to be cute when I use this text on fasting because I recognize that the fasting he's talking about is simply this. He says, look, you guys have your religious rules and your religious regulations, and you follow them to the T. You show up, you skip your meals like you're supposed to, you do all the rites and rituals, and yet, God says, all of that is external stuff. It's all image stuff. It's all just for show, because your hearts haven't changed at all. And I know that your hearts haven't changed at all because you're still using and abusing your employees. You're still mistreating your resources. You're still exploiting other folks. You're still not doing the justice stuff. So God is saying through Isaiah, the consequences of that kind of lifestyle, I'm not going to accept again. What kind of fast do I really want? I don't care about you skipping meals in my name. What I do care about you doing is loosening the chains, freeing the bonds, setting people free. And I love those images. I love those images because those are the kinds of images that are in our very materialistic world. Those are the kinds of images that we actually need to think about fasting in a healthy way. That is, fasting not as skipping a meal to convince God to bless us, not skipping a meal so that we can get an answer from God about a prayer, which is typically what fasting looks like in the scriptures. We're going to fast and pray. Why?
because we're really seeking God for an answer. We're going to fast and pray. Why? Because we need God to show up in a powerful way, because we need to have a good discernment about the next right step. That is awesome stuff. And I think there probably is a call for us as a congregation to engage in fasting and prayer for those specific purposes. But this time, I just want to borrow the imagery of Isaiah. I want to invite us to think about this sense of, that Isaiah isn't just a truth teller, he's also a poet. And he's trying to describe to us what it feels like to feel free. And friends, in a materialistic, consumptive culture like the one we live in, one of the things that we struggle most with is bondage to stuff. Can I get an amen? Amen? Now, I could talk all morning about this. In fact, we could all share stories around it because we all live in this, don't we? We all know the burden that this looks like. And I don't want to get too heavy into all that just now. Instead, I want to say, if we in the church can identify with that, if we as a church community can identify with that, then the good news is we have something in common with the world. Raise your hand if you've ever heard of Marie Kondo. Few of you. Well, I'm going to introduce you to Marie Kondo. Marie Kondo has become an international sensation. Marie Kondo is from Japan, and she wrote a book called Tidying Up. And her books have been translated in dozens of languages. She is an internet sensation. In fact, Netflix put together a short series called Tidying Up, in which Marie Kondo does what she calls the KonMari method for tidying up. And I want to show you the trailer for her Netflix TV series. And then invite us to think for a few moments about what her experience and what she's trying to teach might help to us. Because I think she could be a really good teacher for us. Thanks, Dave.
I have so much stuff.
It's a never-ending battle to fight the clutter.
With the baby coming, we got to get our stuff in order.
We had to downsize from a 4-story house to a 2-bedroom apartment.
I lost my husband. I don't know that I have everything it takes to get rid of his belongings.
Hello. I'm Marie Kondo. My mission is to make the world happy. Let's start tidying. What?
This girl's no joke.
This is amazing.
We have too much stuff. It's official.
It's so hard to let it go.
I don't want to just, dump it. I want to be thoughtful about it.
Choose items that spark joy for you.
Spark joy. It's not as easy as I thought it was going
to
be.
We're on board. We want to change. I just want it to be strong enough to change me.
I can let it go. Arigato.
I am going to figure out what sparks joy in my life.
I can't believe you can touch the carpet.
New day, new joy.
Thank you for being here for us and wanting to help us.
I hope you know how much this means to me.
Here we go.
A little free plug for Netflix there. What did you notice? What did you notice about the people who need Marie Kondo's help? And what did you notice about the way in which she goes about this work? There was a family that wanted to make room for a new baby, and they recognized that they just didn't have any space, and all their stuff was going to be in the way of that. There was a middle-aged couple who felt just overwhelmed by all their possessions. It's, over a lifetime of accumulating stuff, it was just too much for them. And then there was that sweet woman who breaks my heart, the widow, who just didn't have the emotional capacity to let go of all of her deceased husband's things. In all three cases, there were these deep, deep emotions that kept people stuck with their stuff. And what Marie Kondo comes into and what she offers up is this amazing invitation to joy. An amazing invitation to joy that says, look, your stuff is actually keeping you from joy. But by tidying up, by attending to the, to all these objects and deciding what needs to stay and what needs to go, you can have greater joy. And each and so the reason why this is such fun reality TV is because every time somebody goes to the work of looking at their stuff and getting rid of some of it, they always, that is a really emotionally courageous challenge. And I just want to say to us as a community of people, I who walked through this campus, I see a lot of things, flamingos, plaques, hymnals, and a lot of other stuff. And I think to myself, what's keeping us from releasing these things that don't spark joy for us anymore, don't help us do the mission of God, don't move our purpose forward, don't communicate to each other or to the world who we are, what we're about, what the purpose of this space is, and how we want to receive new people into it. And I know that there's a story with every object. Amen? That filing cabinet and that plaque tells a story, right? There's a whole story. And we want to honor that story. We don't want to disrespect God. We don't want to disrespect the people who donated it. We don't want to be disrespectful. We need to honor it and celebrate it. And that's what I love about Marie Kondo. I love that she invites people to come and say, we're going to look at these objects, each one, attend to it, and that which no longer sparks joy for us, we're going to say thank you. She literally helps people say thank you to this object. Thank you for the use. Thank you for how you've helped me. Thank you for the good things, the good memories we have about it. And now we're going to set it aside. Perhaps right now you're thinking, I don't know about the church, but I know I want to go home and do this. I know in my own life I want to do this, right? So the other thing that flamingos and hymnals and plaques have in common is none of them are junk. None of them are junk. And I want to really emphasize this. Because one of the things that Marie Kondo does is she comes into a space and she says, I never make anybody throw something away. I never make anybody do that. That's your work to do. And it's because it's not junk. It's just not garbage. It is of value. The challenge is that sometimes we have things that are of value, but they actually aren't of value to us anymore. And they would be better, they'd have a better use elsewhere. They could be doing good in the world. They're just not doing good in our, you know, stuck up in the storage space or in a closet or collecting dust on our campus. They could be doing good someplace else. So what I'm really urging us to consider is to have KonMari Day. A day in which we would all come together and we would divide up into teams and we would attend to each and every room of the campus and we would say, you know what? Everything in this room that doesn't spark joy for us anymore, we're going to give it away. We're going to let it go. I'm imagining, and it may not work exactly like this, but I'm just imagining what it would be like if we all went through the campus and said, you know, I remember this object. I remember why we used it. I remember why we needed it. But it actually doesn't serve us anymore. It doesn't really move the mission forward. It doesn't give us the vision. It doesn't contribute to our vision of being a place that welcomes new people. And so we're going to let it go. And then I can imagine that we would gather all these things together right out there on the patio, right outside the sanctuary doors. And that we would all stand around in a circle around these things. And we'd look at this not small pile of things. And we would say, thank you. Thank you, God, for all of the memories, all of the ministry, all of the work that these objects represent. All the vacation Bible schools, all the small group Bible studies, all the musical concerts, all of the books and learning, all of the skits and the pranks and the fun picnics and fun outings, all those things that these were part of. We're going to bring all that together. We're going to thank you, God, and we're going to thank you, God, for the donors. Thank you for the people who donated this to us. Thank you for the ways in which they gave of their time and talent and treasure to the life of this church. Thank you for them, too. Thank you, God, for the stuff. Thank you for the people who donated the stuff. Thank you for the way you use the people and the stuff to move your kingdom forward. But God, we believe that you are trying to do a new thing in us. And that if we make space, even an uncomfortable space. Can you imagine what that was like for that widow when she went from having her husband's, you know, the closet full of all of her husband's things, and all of that stuff leaves, and all of a sudden she's just got this big, empty space. That's grief, right? That's grief, and it's pain, and it's longing. But it's also a place where God's love and healing and new purpose can come. And I believe that for us too. This isn't going to solve, there's nothing magical about fasting. There's nothing magical about skipping a meal. God doesn't love us more if we do this. There isn't anything magical about it, but there is something deeply spiritual about it. That is to say, it's a physical activity, a physical action that we can do to say to God, we really do want to make room. We want to make room for a new vision for this campus. We want to make room for new ministries. We want this room not just to be the room that we gather in and hang out in, and it works fine for us, and so we just, yeah, you know, we don't mind. It'll do. You know, we're used to it. No, we actually want this room to be the kind of room when somebody comes into this space, they think to themselves, oh, I know what this church is about. I know what this church does. And I feel comfortable in it. I feel welcomed here. And I believe this is the kind of place where I could make new friends. And I could know God. I could know Christ and make him known, right? I could know Christ and make him known. I could be known here. I could know Christ here. I could be a part of making Christ known in the world. I could do all those things. And this is what this is about, and it makes sense to me. Make sense, what I'm suggesting? Not at all. Genuinely. It doesn't make sense? Tell me more. Gotcha. Thank you. That's awesome. So the critique is that spending time doing something that's that is sort of removing or taking away isn't the best thing to do. Find the things that are really are working and do more of them. Make sure you talk to the people who put it in place before. Chesterton's fence is a great allusion. Chesterton's fence goes like this. Chesterton said, before you remove a fence, make sure you know why it was there in the first place. Because, you know, maybe it's actually keeping the bull from coming into your potato field, right? So I think those are valuable. I think that is a valuable and important thing to keep in mind. And that's sort of why I said what I said about this stuff is not junk. It's really important to me that you know that I'm not making a judgment like that. That's not the point of the exercise. It's not to say this stuff's dumb and unimportant and the past is bad. No, it's all gift. It's good. And the people who donated it, you know, that matters to them too. So I do think that there's a relational component that needs to be attended to on this. This is not, as I said, this is not magical. It doesn't suddenly make everything different. It does, however, become an activity that I believe we can do together while we are doing the work of identifying this is the stuff that makes sense to us. I guess what I'm driving at and what I think is also true for us is, yes, a positive vision,
is absolutely necessary. And yes, being clearer about what we are for is important. But I also think that sometimes these objects in our lives actually keep us stuck from being able to imagine that. I really do believe that. I really do believe that creating greater space creates an open conversation where we can start to think, okay, if this room were cleared of all the things that we aren't using anymore, all of a sudden now we can see it differently. Even in the clip, I loved how the little girl started rolling around on the floor. She says, oh my gosh, I can see the floor. Thankfully, that we don't have any rooms like that here, I don't think. But I do believe that creating space isn't a substitute for clearer vision. It isn't a substitute for getting clearer about what we're good at and doing more and more of that. That's part of what the vision framing team is doing. This is the tension I'm also in, by the way. I'm in a tension around, I've got this vision framing team that's going to be doing really hard work and giving that work back to us. Meanwhile, how can we all be participating in making room, creating space, and being ready to receive a new thing in our lives? This is part of that exercise. So thank you for thinking about those things. Okay, thank you for... Okay, thank you. Yeah.
I don't think one necessarily
negates
the other.
Okay.
And I think this process could facilitate
identifying what you would... Great. All right. Okay. Sure, Jenny.
So in the video, those three scenarios...
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes. Got it. Excellent. Good. Thank you. Thank you. So here's what Jenny. Yeah. So here's what Jenny is saying. Jenny was saying, in the video, each of the people participating, they had a clear plan for what they, you know, what the future that they were wanted to live into, that and that how all their stuff was keeping them from having that vision. And you used the example of the library, which I'm so grateful for. That library example is a perfectly good, is a great, great one, great, great one. Okay. So here's the tension I'm in, right? And first of all, I want to say that there's a group of women who kind of have managed the library, and just a couple weeks ago, before we even talked about this at all, I'd gone in and I was in there. I thought we were going to have a different meeting, and which is took off for the month. But I come in and I'm like, oh, where's the rest of the other group? And they're like, oh, they're off for the month. And I said, what you guys up to? And they were gathering books and stuff up, and they were moving things along. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is really great. Thank you so much for doing this. And then, so we began to have a little bit of a conversation about it, and that is that place where we had a great conversation about the library and the fact that we don't have a space, an indoor space, in which people can sort of sit comfortably around little tables and sit and talk and just hang out. We have the tables outside on the patio. On a nice day, it works pretty okay, but that sense of, you know, like a third space. So I live in this tension. And I'm inviting you into the tension with me. I live into the tension that room or a room is really needed for a place where when new folks come into the church and we get to meet them and get to start spending time with them, that we have a place where we can go and sit down and just hang out and linger. And people can feel like they can just linger. And that's in a sitting down space, a coffee space, you know, a coffee house kind of feel is needed. That's the thing I would love to see happen, but that's not about my vision. It's about our vision. It's about your sense of what's needed here, what's going to be of value. At minimum, I think to myself, we can get started. We can get started recognizing that there's a lot of things in this library that just aren't bringing us joy anymore. There's a lot of things in this library that people donated because they didn't bring joy to them in their lives at home, but now it's in now. But hey, maybe the church can use it, and a lot of people do that, right? A lot of people, you know, have things that they don't want anymore, and they want it to. They don't need it. It doesn't bring them joy, but maybe the church can use it. And the church, trying to be polite, trying to be honoring, trying to be loving, trying to do the right thing, says, "Well, yeah, maybe." And we take it on. I think that there's, I think that, yes, at a deeper level, there's some more thoughtfulness that we need to attend to. We don't, be reactionary to this. But I also think that there's some obvious stuff, a lot of things where it's like, this doesn't serve us anymore. Is it a one-time solution? Of course not. But it's a way of getting started. So I want to be doing both things. Making more room, starting a shared conversation about more space and how the space is best used for what fundamental purpose. Is it just where we're comfortable, or is it actually this whole campus exists? And everything we do exists to be creating a space where new people can come and be a part of what we're about, feel like this is a place where they can make friends, where they can know Christ and be known, and that all of that, every space that they enter into is one that they sense, oh yeah, this is a space for that purpose. Thank you for the dialogue. That was really fun. I appreciate that we're having this wrestle. Yes, Pastor Bob. Yes, that's right. Rebecca can absolutely have one or more pink flamingos. Yes, one or more pink flamingos are certainly welcome. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. At minimum, what I would like to do this morning, and I, as I came into this meeting, I sort of thought to myself, if I don't offend every one of you at some level, I probably haven't done a good job of it. So I... Good. Good. That's good. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Because if a transitional pastor doesn't come in and ruffle your feathers, then a transitional pastor hasn't done a good job. Can you follow that? That's part of my work. If I haven't done that well, then I haven't stirred up in us the kind of energy that's needed, not to create conflict with one another, but to have a sense of like, okay, where we are, and I don't know about you, but in my own life, when I look at all the stuff in my house that doesn't bring me joy anymore, which is substantial, I got a whole narrative around that, and I need something, some external energy to come in and say, this is no longer working for me, and it's time to do something about it. It's time to prepare for something new. And friends, it's time for us to prepare for something new. Amen? Here, Isaiah, I want to finish not with my yakking, but with God's word. Because I think the vision for being a church that lives for others, setting others free, I think is really critical. So let me read this one more time. And then, Gary, I'm going to have you lead us in our closing song. The words of Isaiah one more time. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke and set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry? And to provide the poor wanderer with shelter. When you see the naked, to clothe him, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. And you will cry for help, and he will say, here am I. Loving God, thank you for being the kind of God that when we call you, when we reorient ourselves toward your greater purposes, when we make freedom ours and the freedom of anyone and everyone else that you bring into our lives, when that becomes what we're about, Lord, then you answer, you meet us, and you're healing. The healing we need, each of us and all of us together, comes. Keep moving us forward, we pray. Amen.